I want to thank each of you for choosing to spend your Christmas Eve with our virtual faith community. I hope you've been blessed by the music, perhaps finding yourself humming or even singing right along. I hope the scripture stories and lighting of the Christ candle have spoken comfort and joy to your soul. God is with us, and the stories of the first Christmas loudly proclaim this truth and reality. God's love is with us. When I finished my theological training, I had 6 months before I was to be appointed to a local church. I also had an apartment and bills to pay, so I needed a job to fill the gap. I was hired by the Salvation Army to be their third shift shelter manager. So I worked through the nights welcoming, managing, securing around 100 or so homeless persons. Many nights were uneventful, but I did experience nights when the police and or parole officers would show up. I had to make security rounds in and around the outside property, which occasionally brought me into some really weird and awkward situations. I'd go home just after sunrise, have some breakfast, greet my roommate, and then I'd turn on a big box fan to create some white noise and try to go to sleep. Third shifts are strange and undesirable from my experience, but I will tell you, they are not weird or undesirable to God. In our gospel story, Luke tells us about a God who shows up to a group of people working the third shift. Why would God do this? Why would God share such an important announcement about God's redeeming exceptional love with and through third shift shepherds? Shepherds had a bad reputation. They were not allowed to give testimony in courts because they were deemed untrustworthy liars. They were at or near the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. At best, you could say they were terribly ordinary people. So why would God celebrate the good news of God's saving love with these folks? Maybe God is saying something to us here. Maybe God is showing us how God and His exceptional love and grace seeks out our ordinary. Maybe God is showing us an example of what the prophet Isaiah meant when he wrote in chapter 40, "Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low." Maybe God is leveling the field. You and I, we love the exceptional. When we watch sports excerpts, they tend to be of the great plays, the big runs, the amazing catch, the crushing sack or tackle. The excerpts don't show us the 1 or 2 yard gains. We like the exceptional, but not so much the ordinary. But here's our reality. We live mostly in the ordinary, and most of us, perhaps all of us, are pretty ordinary folk. Maybe there are some shepherds listening to this service tonight. Maybe there's someone listening who works a third shift. Maybe someone listening works the late night shift for Family Fair or at a local manufacturing plant or Spectrum Hospital. There are third shift people, shepherd-like people, all around us. It might be the bus driver or the Uber driver who took Gigi and me to the Grand Rapids Airport back in February for a pre-pandemic flight to Florida. I've been at the airport late in the evening, and guess what? There are third shift people there. And clearly, God loves ordinary third shift folk. In Luke's story, we're told there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were doing what they always did. This is our lives. We can spend every day living out, taking care of sheep that belong to someone else. Do you ever feel like that? That your life is pretty much work? I get up, I go to work, I come home, prepare a meal, watch The Voice, a football game, I go to sleep, I get up and do it all over again. Life is work and work is life. Have you ever felt like that? Even if you're retired, the ordinary rhythms you establish can become pretty mechanical, mundane, almost numbing some days. God breaks into that storyline and says, "Boy, do I have some awesome news for you, news that will bring you great joy, which is for everyone." There is more to life than work or mechanical rhythms of retirement. There is more to life than doing the same thing day in and day out. There is more to life than just existing. And the reason there is more to life is because you are made for a relationship with God. That relationship was fractured and broken long ago, but the longing for something more, something of meaning and purpose and value, still lingers within our hearts and minds. The prophet Isaiah describes it this way: we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. But elsewhere, the Bible says, God has put eternity in our hearts. We long for something more, and God comes to these hardworking, living outside shepherds and says, I've got good news of great joy for you. God comes for us. Love comes for us. God is not sitting around wondering, when are they going to call me? I wonder if they'll message me. Exceptional divine love pursues us. Good news of great joy comes searching for us. Now, those shepherds who were used to their very ordinary working lives, when God showed up, their first response was fear. In fact, it says they were terrified. And I do know some folks who found God showing up in their lives, and that was pretty much their response. They were afraid, or at least greatly annoyed. They were afraid because they thought God was going to mess up their lives, or that God was going to rub his judgment all over them. Now, I will be honest. The love of God does change our lives. The love of God does mess with our priorities. It does realign and reassign things in our lives. But the love of God, in doing this, nurtures a life we never had or dreamed of. Richard Stearns has his undergraduate degree in neurobiology from Cornell University and his MBA from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. He became the CEO of Lennox and then Parker Brothers Games. He was living the life, the American dream, and he was also a follower of Jesus. But Jesus called him to be president of World Vision, a global nonprofit Christian relief agency, which has as one of its mottos the prayer, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. For 20 years, Richard Stearns walked among the world's poor. Now, he says, he's blessed by a broken heart. He's blessed because he loves refugees with the compassion Christ has shown him. Now he reads Matthew 25 and with a gentle smile says he stands with Jesus as Jesus sides with the poor. I first met Richard through a book he wrote entitled The Whole in Our Gospel. That book made me laugh. It made me weep as God met me in its pages and stories and said, come on, Dan, follow me. I've got more for you, and it's good news of great joy. And friends, God has stirred me to a greater, richer, deeper, joy-filled life because of that book. Those shepherds were afraid when God showed up, but after the angel left them, they made a decision. They ran to Bethlehem to see what God was up to. They found the baby Jesus. They told Mary and Joseph, and clearly there were others there. They, as the gospel tells us, made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The last piece of the story about these shepherds tells us they moved from being terrified to being motivated and awed, and then, we're told, they returned. That is, they went back to their ordinary lives of working the shepherding night shift, but they were different. They were, as the gospel tells us, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It's clear, yes, they were afraid, but they took a step toward Bethlehem. They took a step toward Jesus, God's exceptional love in the flesh. And that step of response changed their lives. Friends, I'm wondering tonight, have you ever fully received the love of God? Are you willing to be changed by the love of God? God is here. God is present with us tonight. His love is inviting us. I have good news of great joy for you and all people. I'm going to ask you to do something, and I hope you'll indulge me. Close your eyes and picture your day, your ordinary stuff that you do day in and day out. Imagine yourself there. Now, picture a messenger. An angel of the Lord comes to you and says, "Don't be afraid." Can you hear that? Don't be afraid. God wants to give you a gift that will change everything. Can you see it? Can you see him? Can you see Jesus? Because, friends, Jesus is the gift God so desperately wants to give us. So what do you do with this? What will you do? Do you adore him or ignore him? Adore or ignore, the choice is yours. It can be so easy to walk away from another Christmas and say, "Oh, I love the music, I love the food, I love the gifts and time with family, I love listening or going to a Christmas Eve service." But what if in all of our ordinariness, we opened ourselves up to receive God's exceptional, unconditional, unmerited love? Maybe you've never fathomed receiving God's love, but for some of you, you've forgotten this is what Christmas is all about, receiving the exceptional love of God. So I invite you to take a moment and put your hands on your lap, palms facing up, as a sign you're ready to receive. And if you're ready to receive the love of God, allow me to pray this prayer over you. Lord Jesus, we are ordinary. In fact, sometimes we can be a hot, unholy mess of ordinariness. And yet, God, this is why you came from heaven to earth. You came for us, and not just for us, but to set all of creation right. Lord Jesus, we need your exceptional love. We need your unconditional love. Visit us in the same way you visited those shepherds so long ago. Jesus, we open ourselves up to you. Help us to receive your love. Jesus, we want you to be Lord of our lives. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We pray this and claim this in your exceptional name. And everyone said, Amen.